The tunes lined up in five columns. A and E were ready to grab the side hand holds and flip themselves out toward the sides. B and D lined up to catch the two parallel ceiling holds and flip upward into null gravity. C-tune were ready to slap the sill of the doorway and flip downward. Up, down, left, right. Ender stood at the front, between columns, so he'd be out of the way, and reoriented them. Which way is the enemy's gate? Down, they all said, laughing, and in that moment, up became north, down became south, and left and right became east and west. The gray wall in front of them disappeared, and the battle room was visible. It wasn't a dark game, and it wasn't a bright one either. The lights were about half, like dusk. In the distance, in the dim light, he could see the enemy door. There, lighted flash suits already pouring out. Ender knew a moment's pleasure. Everyone had learned the wrong lesson from Bonzo's misuse of Ender Wiggin. They all dumped through the door immediately so that there was no chance to do anything other than name the formation they would use. Commanders didn't have time to think. Well, Ender would take the time and trust his soldiers' ability to fight with flashed legs to keep them intact as they came late through the door. Ender sized up the shape of the battle room. The familiar open grid of most early games, like the monkey bars at the park, with seven or eight stars scattered through the grid. There were enough of them, and in forward enough positions, that they were worth going for. "Spread to the near stars," Ender said. "C, try to slide the wall. If it works, A and E will follow. If it doesn't, I'll decide from there. I'll be with D. Move." All the soldiers knew what was happening. But tactical decisions were entirely up to the toon leaders. Even with Ender's instructions, they were only 10 seconds late getting through the gate. Rabbit Army was already doing some elaborate dance down at the end of the room. In all the other armies Ender had fought in, he would have been worrying right now about making sure he and his toon were in their proper place in their own formation. Instead, he and all his men were only thinking of ways to slip around, pass the formation, control the stars and the corners of the room, and then break the enemy formation into meaningless chunks that didn't know what they were doing. Even with less than 4 weeks together, the way they fought already seemed like the only intelligent way, the only possible way. Ender was almost surprised that Rabbit Army didn't know already that they were hopelessly out of date. C-Tune slipped along the wall, coasting with their bent knees facing the enemy. Crazy Tom, the leader of C-Tune, had apparently ordered his men to flash their own legs already. It was a pretty good idea in this dim light, since the lighted flash suits went dark wherever they were frozen. It made them less easily visible. Ender would commend him for that. Rabbit Army was able to drive back C-Tune's attack, but not until Crazy Tom and his boys had carved them up, freezing a dozen rabbits before retreating to the safety of a star. But it was a star behind the rabbit formation, which meant they were going to be easy pickings now. Hanzo, commonly called Hot Soup, was the leader of D-Tune. He slid quickly along the lip of the star to where Ender knelt. "How about flipping off the north wall and kneeling on their faces?" "Do it," Ender said. "I'll take B south to get behind them." Then he shouted, "A and E, slow on the walls." He slid footward along the star, hooked his feet on the lip, and flipped himself up to the top wall, then rebounded down to E-Tune's star. In a moment, he was leading them down against the south wall. They rebounded in near-perfect unison and came up behind the two stars that Karn Karby's soldiers were defending. It was like cutting butter with a hot knife. Rabbit Army was gone. Just a little cleanup left to do. Ender broke his tunes up into half-tunes to scour the corners for any enemy soldiers who were whole or merely damaged. In 3 minutes, his tune leaders reported the room clean. Only one of Ender's boys was completely frozen. One of C-Tune, which had borne the brunt of the assault, and only five were disabled. Most were damaged, but those were leg shots and many of them were self-inflicted. All in all, it had gone even better than Ender expected. Ender had his tune leaders do the honors at the gate. Four helmets of the corners, and Crazy Tom to pass through the gate. Most commanders took whoever was left alive to pass the gate. Ender could have picked practically anyone. A good battle. The lights went full, and Major Anderson himself came through the teacher gate at the south end of the battle room. He looked very solemn as he offered Ender the teacher hook that was ritually given to the victor in the game. Ender used it to thaw his own army's flash suits, of course, and he assembled them in tunes before thawing the enemy. Crisp, military appearance, that's what he wanted when Carby and Rabbit Army got their bodies under control again. They may curse us and lie about us, but they'll remember that we destroyed them, and no matter what they say, other soldiers and other commanders will see that in their eyes. In those rabbit eyes, they'll see us in neat formation, victorious and almost undamaged in our first battle. Dragon Army isn't going to be an obscure name for long. Karn Carby came to Ender as soon as he was unfrozen. He was a 12-year-old who had apparently made commander only in his last year at the school. So he wasn't cocky like the ones who made it at 11. I will remember this, thought Ender, when I am defeated, to keep dignity and give honor where it's due so that defeat is not disgrace, and I hope I don't have to do it often. Anderson dismissed Dragon Army last, after Rabbit Army had straggled through the door that Ender's boys had come through. Then Ender led his army through the enemy's door. The light along the bottom of the door reminded them of which way was down once they got back to gravity. They all landed lightly on their feet, running. They assembled in the corridor. "It's 07:15," Ender said, "and that means you have 15 minutes for breakfast before I see you all in the battle room for the morning practice." He could hear them silently saying, "Come on, we won, let us celebrate." "All right," Ender answered, "you may. And you have your commander's permission to throw food at each other during breakfast." They laughed. They cheered. And then he dismissed them and sent them jogging on to the barracks. He caught his toon leaders on the way out and told them that he wouldn't expect anyone to come to practice until 07:45, and that practice would be over early so the boys could shower. Half an hour for breakfast, and no shower right after a battle. It was still stingy, but it would look lenient compared to 15 minutes, and Ender liked having the announcement of the extra 15 minutes come from the toon leaders. Let the boys learn that leniency comes from their toon leaders and harshness from their commander. It will bind them better in the small, tight knots of this fabric.